Yeah, you know, it's almost like in the, you know, 74 other times we've done this, I just took for granted the fact that we have to clap to align our audio. I was just going off before we had even done the very first thing that we're supposed to do when we start recording here. What's up, guys? Welcome to Banger Alert. My name is Mitch.
My name is Tanilo.
We are back again, dude. Had a little week off there. Me and Tanilo kind of put our heads together and we were just thinking about some new episode ideas, some different stuff. But we're back again this week. Dude, Tanilo, you want to tell everybody what we're doing?
Yeah, so we had a fun little idea a while ago for a 3v3. For those on the know, 3v3 is me and Mitch showing each other three songs each. It's really not complicated. But the show here is split up pretty much between like album reviews and then weird 3v3 shit where we pick like a category and go into it. But today is going to be totally random. So 100% random. It's called Spotify Grab Bag, not sponsored. We've gone on record many a time saying fuck Spotify, but, me and Mitch primarily use Spotify for our, listening pleasures, for podcast listening and music listening and other things as such. And to that point, we both have libraries of thousands of like songs. Well, maybe not thousands. Mitch has, 211 like songs. I have roughly 3,500. And it's just on Spotify, when you click the little green heart, that's you liking a song and it saves it into a library for you. And then you can shuffle that playlist. And in general, when you do that, it'll give you shit that you like. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take turns and we're just going to click the randomizer button. We're going to click play and we're going to see what pops up and then we're going to talk about it. So Mitch and I have no fucking idea what's about to pop up.
Yep.
Mitch, it could be one of 211 things. Me, it could be one of 3,500 roughly things. So,
bro, how the fuck do you have three? Well, first off, I didn't realize I only had 211 liked songs. I feel like I should have a lot more than that. Why do you have 3,500 liked songs, dude? What the fuck?
I like a lot of music, dude. That's crazy. Just listen to stuff and I'm like, ooh, I like that. Like, and I just like all the way down, you know?
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I use my bro, okay, let's talk about this for a second because I'm just kind of curious. Everybody uses Spotify. I'm pretty sure that most of the people listening to this use Spotify, have a liked playlist, and I'm sure that everybody uses it differently.
The vast majority, yeah.
Like, what we mean by the liked playlist, just in case you don't know, if you heart a song, right? Like, you're listening to an album and you go over and heart it, it's going to throw it onto your liked playlist. I only use the liked playlist for songs that I want to go back to. And I often unlike songs to get them back off of that list. But it sounds like you just let that shit build.
I'll occasionally go through an unlike. But yeah, in general, I'm just trying to get this giant pool of music that I can throw on whenever and be generally happy with the outcome. So like, for example, right? So the song Love Lost in a Hail of Gunfire by Bleeding Through, it's a classic. You know, if you know, you know. But it starts with a soundbite from the Boondock Saints. And I was on a run the other day, and the album I had finished listening to was done, and it was playing random shit based on that album. And that song popped up, and it was like that great Boondock Saints monologue with Willem Dafoe being like, there was a firefight!
For a few seconds, this place was Armageddon. There was a firefight!
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah. I was like, oh, dude, bro. And I pulled out my phone. I was like, what is this? I love it. Okay. Just so that easy, you know? Just
excellent.
Whatever. Whatever works, works.
So as far as my liked list goes, bro, like I said before, I kind of have it. It's like a rotating list. Like stuff switches out. There's some stuff that's been in here since like 2012. Like some stuff in here is like super outdated and I do need to get rid of. But what I'll do when we go through and like record an episode, like we did Spite, right? I went and liked a bunch of Spite songs recently and I went and took them back off because now they're on their own playlist. Right. So
yeah, no, I gotcha. So if that was the case, like I have every Enter Shikari song liked, well, the ones that I like,
right.
Obviously
right.
This is going to be,
I have
liked the songs that I liked and they're on my liked, but like,
we could use the phrase hearted maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. So I hearted a bunch of Enter Shikari songs, and I have them in my own separate Enter Shikari playlist. But that's just because when I shuffle all my liked songs, I want Enter Shikari to come up. But if I just want to listen to Enter Shikari, then I go to that playlist, and I'm like, boom.
Yep. I want to be a lot more diligent about playlisting, bro. Like, back in the day when I had an iPod, I would intentionally create, like, 25-song-long lists that were intended to be listened to in order. Because I thought I was 14 and I'm deep, you know? But I don't know. We're getting off topic, bro. Okay. I don't know if this is going to be a 3v3. This might be more.
Yeah, and we haven't really decided on, like, we're definitively doing three songs or whatever. If something pops up that we've done on the podcast already, we're going to skip it and you just won't know because we're not going to tell you.
But, that was, yeah.
it's just going to be, like, go with the flow, free form conversation. It's just supposed to be totally random. So,
yeah. So I listen to a lot of different music too. So like if a lo-fi hip hop song comes up, there's not that much to talk about unless you just absolutely want to. I don't know what the hell's going to pop up, but whatever.
I think we got to talk about whatever pops up.
Okay.
As long
no
as
matter,
it hasn't been done before. Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm glad I brought it up then. So like ground rules are we're only skipping if we've done an episode on that or included that song in a previous episode, right?
Right, because then we'd just be repeating ourselves, and that's dumb. But like, I think the part of the fun here is that, you know, if you shuffle my like songs, you'll either get like, you know, grindcore, death, whatever, or like cheesy country. You know, that's part of the fun.
if there is country music,
there's a non-zero chance that it lands on a Taylor Swift song.
If it lands on a country song, we're breaking up, dude.
We're breaking. The podcast will be over.
Episode 75 will be where it ends. No, I'm just kidding.
Is it 75? Oh, shit, it is.
Yeah, number 75, bro. We're 3/4 of the way to the big one hundo.
Wee-oo.
Wee-oo. Banger alert. Wee-oo, wee-oo. All right, man. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You can see my, like, Spotify?
I can see it.
All right, let's roll the dice, bro. What are we listening to first? It's going to be...
Playlist like songs. That sounds
excellent.
Right.
Okay.
Beautiful.
So the first song is going to be called No Soul by Nihilist, Pablo Vivero, Chelsea Grin, Coco, and Oceano.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the best collab
that's
of all time.
That's a fucking lineup, dude. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. So immediate tangent. I want to talk about this.
Sure.
So Pablo Vivero's drummer for Chelsea Grin.
Yep.
He's not out of Chelsea Grin. So. But it's confusing because on this song, it says Pablo Viveros and Chelsea Grin. They're separated artists.
Right.
But if you go to the Chelsea Grin Spotify page, he's not in the artist picture.
Wait.
Which is...
What? Hang on, really? Interesting.
Yeah, he's not there. So you got Tom Barber and then the guitarist, Steven Rudishauser, and I want to say the bassist. I don't know his name off the top of my head. But Pablo's not in this picture. But
is Pablo not in the band anymore?
Well, that's everybody's. If you Google, like, is Pablo out? There's a bunch of like Reddit threads being like, yo, what the fuck? Where's Pablo? Like, why isn't he on the artist picture? And apparently he's still in the band, but he's just not on their branding temporarily for some stupid reason. Like, why would they do that?
All right. In August 2022, the band revealed the drummer Pablo Viveros, who has been on hiatus from the band since 2021, has made commitments with another artist in the downtime during the COVID-19 pandemic to perform and tour. All right, yeah, so it sounds like he's still in the band. It's just that he's helping another band out in the time being, if I interpreted that correctly.
Yeah, I believe that's everyone's current interpretation of what's going on with Pablo and Chelsea Grin, but, like, why the fuck would you not have him in the picture if he's still in the band? That's what I don't get, is they have this picture with just the three people that they took separately and uploaded as their picture intentionally that does not have Pablo in it. Why would that happen?
I wonder if they're having conversations amongst themselves, like, yo, do we keep, like, Pablo included in this shit? Like, we've been
but
doing
he's
it without
fucking
him.
Pablo. He's, like, the soul of the band at this
point. You know what's crazy is that, like, that's a good point, bro. Pablo is kind of the legitimacy of Chelsea Grin because he was the, like, last remain, or he's the longest remaining member of the band that played with most of the original lineup, I think. Right.
Along him and Steven, yeah. I don't remember who joined first. But I know Steven's been in the band for a long ass fucking time. So
interesting. Do you want me?
Yeah, it's weird though, isn't it? It's just, it seems like a bad move. If he's still in the band, why wouldn't you include him? That doesn't make any sense. So I'm worried, you know, like, is Pablo out? He better not be.
Pablo, if you hear this, let us know, dude.
I'm just starting to get into Chelsea Grin, and I'm like fucking loving Pablo's drumming and live videos and his growls and, you know, his low vocals. And if he's not in Chelsea Grin anymore, I'm like, all right, fuck this shit.
Dude, good timing to become a Chelsea Grin fan all of a sudden, because they just dropped a new album, right?
No, they're working on it, though.
Oh, wait, that's just a single. All right, yeah, okay, they're about to drop a new album.
Yes, they're releasing a double album. Origin of Sin is the first shit that they've released since, what was it? Since, not Eternal Nightmare. Yeah, Eternal Nightmare. So, they're finally coming out with more music. We've been talking about Requiem a lot on the podcast, but anyway, so, big tangent aside, Pablo, what the fuck's going on, bro? This first song, though, so it's got all of Chelsea Grin, including Pablo Viveros, Coco, which, is this a rapper?
Wait.
Who's this?
This is just the dude that was, so, all right, again, this
yeah,
is
Yeah, that's
no
what I'm
soul.
Saying, he's featured on this track.
But Dealer, though, that's not the band Dealer, right?
No way, right? It wouldn't be. It's just, that's the name of the release, dude.
Okay, we'll come and check this out in a sec, but anyway, the song is called No Soul.
Dealer is canceled.
Yeah, or rest in peace, dude. I was watching a Jared Alonji video, and it was like talking about deathcore bands, and it was him and Nick Nocturnal. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. He was like, man, all my favorite bands are canceled. And I'm like, oh, that's actually like pretty apt. Kind of
yeah,
funny,
that's pretty true. Anyway. Dance Gavin Dance is canceled. Eye of the Mighty's canceled. Dealer's canceled.
Alpha Wolf got canceled, right? Oh, dude, fucking...
No, but they didn't.
Not Alpha Wolf.
Did they?
No. Fuck.
Dealer.
I know the Dealer did. There's another band that was like that that got canceled. Like one of those, I don't know. Mental Cruelty got canceled.
Yeah, Rest Mental Cruelty got canceled. Lotus Eater got canceled.
Oh, that's right. Lotus Eater got, damn, dude. These are all bands that we've pretty much talked about on the podcast, too.
We've talked about a lot of them on the podcast.
Yeah, that sucks. Because like, I remember when the Dealer thing, it was like we covered Dealer, and it was like 2 days later, I was in Florida with Ash, and I just like scrolling my phone, and it's like, frontman of Dealer left the band. After allegations, and I'm like, shit.
Well, actually, everyone else in Dealer left.
That's what it was. Yeah,
the vocalist was like an abusive prick.
Yeah.
So they were like universally just like, yo, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, man. Why the hell, bro? Why can't people that make deathcore just be good people, dude? What the fuck?
Well, a lot of them are.
I'm sure they. Yeah, a lot of them are. I know. I'm joking.
It's paint with a broad brush. Anyway,
do you want me to talk more about this song before you listen to it, or you want to just listen to it, dude?
I think we just got to listen to it. I got to get some insight. So okay. We got Oceano, Nihilist, Pablo Viveros, Chelsea Grin, and Coco.
Yeah, get ready.
No soul.
Hang on, brother. Tanilo, what'd you think about that, dude?
Oh man, it was just like, what the fucking, what?
So
what, why?
First thing I want to point out is it sounds like shit.
The
production is really bad, right?
I don't get it. Okay, so who's the primary artist on this mess? Is it Nihilist?
I think it's Nihilist, only because their name is showed up first on the thing here.
Right.
That looks about right. Yeah, it's
yeah. Okay, so if you look at the song credits for that song, what the hell's going on there? Like, I'm trying to figure out this fucking thing.
Let's find out.
Show credits. Yeah. Oh, great. Super helpful.
Well, yeah. Okay, it's all of the same. Okay, check this out. Right, performed by Chelsea Grin, Coco, Nihilist, Oceano, Pablo Viveros. Right, written by Fred Nihilist, produced by nobody. Source: Nihilist Records.
Wow.
Well, no. Okay.
So it's an independent, I guess, doom death slam thing. My question here is, why did you need all of Oceano and Chelsea Grin to make this fucking track?
Bro, I think the production is just the biggest thing holding it back. Okay, let me tell you why this is on my liked song list in the first place. This context might matter. Chris hits me up one day. He's like, dude, this is the biggest collab. This shit is so fucking heavy. And like, I listen to it and I'm like,
yeah, it is heavy.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking heavy. He's like, dude, it really captures that like distorted, like drop bass feel of like 2010 metalcore or deathcore, right? You know, like, you ever listen to like old Job for a Cowboy and the breakdown hits and it distorts your speakers, right?
Yeah.
Apparently to somebody that's desirable. Yeah. I don't know if that was intentional or not here, but every single time there was like a big hit or something, you notice it was like distorted and warbly and shit.
Yeah, just like,
exactly.
Just insane.
Now, if you can get past that, it's a heavy fucking song.
All right, so it's extremely heavy, but half of that song was just silence and chugs. And again, there's a market for it. And I'm guessing this is like some kind of independent dude who may be in the scene and knows some people and is passionate about making this kind of music and, you know, called up whoever and was like, yo, I'm writing this track. Do you want to check it out? You want to be a part of it? Blah, blah, blah. And this is how it came out. But like, I don't like it. It's just not, no, I feel bad, but it's like, oh boy. It took a lot for me to just like sit there and be like, wow, this song.
Bro, you got any timestamps, dude?
I think around 30 seconds, we get a little bit of example of that like whisper scream that of Methwitch fame.
Yeah. Yeah, so in 44 seconds, you hear that, like, yeah, like,
just person
screaming in pain. Yeah. There's another one at, like, a minute 25. Check this out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what struck me about that part was the very, like, creepy pasta sounding, like, reverse video game music.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like Ben Drowned when people do creepypasta covers on YouTube and they play the song of healing backwards. And it's a song of unhealing or whatever the fuck. And it sounds like, and then like that shit in there.
Yeah.
We're just babbling, but like, so that was a cool texture.
Yeah. It's just some dark shit, bro. It's got the Methwitch screams. It's to your point, that synth kind of over top of it, bringing it together, really bringing in that like horror vibe. This is a dark song, and it's got the dumbest breakdown that I've ever heard in my life.
Oh God, it's so stupid.
Dude, it went on, and I remember like while we were listening, I'm like, yo, Taylor, this might, I can't remember, but this might be the rest of the song.
Dude, it's just like textbook trying to be as heavy as possible, but you've gone so far past heavy that it's light. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, doom, doom.
Yeah,
silence.
It's like
for like 8 bars.
Yeah,
for a
long
it's like,
time.
Oh my God.
That being said, I want to see this live. It would never happen. Unless, you know, Nihilus, Chelsea Grin, Oceano, and Coco, and then Pablo was there, unless all those people just happen to be like touring together, I doubt there's a zero. There's like non-zero that this could happen, but that chance is really fucking small, right? This would be kind of hype live. If you could get like immersed, I don't know, man. You want to go to the next song?
Yeah. So interesting.
Let's see what else comes up here, bro. What's the next thing on my life list? Oh, Bound in Fear.
Oh boy, Bound in Fear.
All right, this is Polarity by Bound in Fear. I fucking love this band. Let's get it. So I know that normally you're not the biggest downtempo fan. I mean, with some exceptions, but overall, how did you feel about that song? I know it's not
typical. That was a cool track, man. No, it was good. I liked it. Yeah. We covered God Fear by Bound in Fear a little while back. And I remember, the fellas in Bound in Fear hitting us up and being like, yo, God Fear is trash compared to what we got coming out. Where does this land in the Bound in Fear timeline? Is this newer, older?
Okay, this is on their album that they were talking about, the new album that they were referring to. Yeah,
cool. I dig this track, dude. I dig the atmosphere about it. I dig the way it comes together. It's cohesive and interesting the whole way through. Yep. Penance. That's the fucking.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So when we covered God Fear, that was a single they dropped in 2017. They then went on to drop another album in 2019. We covered The Rot Within. I'm pretty sure. What is that album called? Hang on. I don't want to fuck this up. The Hand of Violence.
The Hand of Violence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God Fear, I think, may have been a single on Regicide, which was their 2017 album. Let me fact check that. It was not. Okay. God Fear was a standalone.
I think it was just a separate. Yeah.
Yeah. When we covered God Fear, they're like, yo, you thought that breakdown was good. Go listen to like our new shit coming out, referring to Penance at the time that we were talking about them, right? Penance is a masterpiece. Like, I fucking love it, dude. It, you know, like most heavy music has not gotten the love that it deserves, but it's excellent. And this is one of the tracks that like is sort of my argument for it. And I got some reasons why we can go into, but what were you going to say? I'm sorry, bro. I kind of cut you off.
No. I feel it. I like the way that this song was put together a lot more than a lot of like quote unquote heavy shit that like, so for example, that Nihilist track we just listened to, you know, objectively it's good, but it's like obviously trying to be super heavy. I much prefer it when a band is heavy, but uses songwriting tropes in ways that make the track like a cohesive listening experience. So for example, this one, it has like the 8 or 9 string, like chugs and riffs and stuff. And it has like the big slow heaviness and everything. But there's this cool melodic motif over the whole thing, kind of setting a tense atmosphere. There's, you know, a verse chorus structure and you kind of get the flow of the song. And my favorite shit in down tempo is like tasteful sporadic use of like the blast beats and double time. So like, I don't know where the timestamp is. Maybe you wrote it down, but there's a part in this song where they're like hitting it really low and slow. And then they're just like, da, 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 da. And then they like go right back to slow. So you get like, maybe a full measure of like fast, just enough to like spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think I got it. I'm going to play this clip at 2:40. You tell me if this is what you were referring to. Is that it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's close enough to what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yep. Just those like da 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 da, like that, like sort of like rolling rhythm in the middle. Like it's like you kind of were trying to find your footing and you can't quite get there. We talked about that a lot when we were talking about Hangman. Mm-hmm. Hangman used by Spite in our last episode we did. Hangman used a lot of tempo changes to kind of keep you off balance. This is using like randomly, like the rhythm is moving in a way that isn't necessarily recognizable. So like you have like a da, like sometimes it's really simple, but sometimes it's really complicated. So. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm going to show this off a little bit. All right. This is when the song drops in. The first, like most of, like the first minute and a half of this song is like kind of droney and like building and very emotional. And like, I'm going to say wet. I don't know why, but that's like sort of like damp, you know, it gets to the point where the music actually drops in 1:23.
Yeah.
And also, okay. So that drops in, you notice it's like boom, bop. Boom, ba-bum, boom, boom, boom. Like, not complicated, right? Like, sort of marching and melodramatic. And that's also a hook, too. The way this song starts, thrown away, brought back close, all I do is hope, you know, torn into numb, just another sad memory swept under the rug. Like, that's a chorus, you know? Normally, we don't have the pleasure of hearing a chorus in, like, a down-tempo song, right? That's sick. The next time they repeat this, they, like, build it up a little bit, like, 1:50. And they bring in like a double bass drum, right? So then we're ended up, it sounds like this. So now we've gone from like boom, ba, boom, ba, ba, to like da, 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 like it's driving, right? Also, yep. Like, I just fucking love the note choice because it all is still like sort of following a chord progression, and just the chord progression is very, very good. I don't have much more to say to it other than that, but you then.
No, I think it's solid.
Right.
Totally solid.
So you get there, and then you eventually get to like where I was just showing off. I'll play it again at 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Like, it kind of falls back apart into this, which, by the way, I want you to pay attention to the bass here. Like, listen to what the bass is doing in this part. So it is this night. So like when it's kind of rolling through that, right? The bass is doing like obviously not those notes, but it's moving around. Like every hit is a different note, right?
Right.
Adding to that vibe. The part of this song, I think the reason why I hearted it, this whole thing is building. Like we've kind of just been describing that build, right? You get to 3 minutes and 40 seconds and it does this.
This is a great down-tempo song, man.
One of the best, like, dude. This whole album is like this. Like, not like this specifically, but this whole album I could just go on and on and on about, right? Like, every song in Penance is really good. I don't know, man. Maybe it warrants an episode, but I know you're not as big of a down-tempo fan. I don't know. Hopefully I could, like, find a reason to show you some more of the songs on this album in the future, but we'll see.
Cool. Hell yeah, dude.
Oh, dude, I got one more. Sorry, bro. I got one more time stamp on
the
show.
You're good.
Go okay, so, and this is a little bit of a talking point. You know when Hot Mulligan does dual vocals, right?
Yeah.
That's something that Hot Mulligan is known for. I guess if I'm editing this, yo, future editing Mitch, put like a clip of a Hot Mulligan dual track. Like, sick, no, I'm sick of all my ever gave me were weekends on the phone feeling badly but laughing at the times that I passed up. Guess I wasn't enough. Okay, yeah, so you see how like all the words are fitting together right there? They do that at the end of this song in the context of heavy music. So, ooh. 4 minutes and 16 seconds. See if you can follow along with what's happening on the vocals here. So they're complimenting each other, right? You got somebody on the high end, like, let me get the words right. This hollow sings, this bottle sinks is like the line, right? And like the high is like sinks, like kind of sings out that word while the low vocal, like the low end, takes the rest of that verse and like sings the next couple lines there.
Very Sam Carter. I think it fits in really well. I love that motif when they're able to use pitch screaming, especially in a song this like heavy and slow, because it just helps add that little extra bit of flair. I feel like that's the thing with downtempo. If you want to make a good downtempo song, the foundation of the song is so basic because it's just you're going really slow, you're playing really low, and there's not a ton you can do with that. So it's like the flair that you put onto it makes the song, you know?
This, I don't know, like, and on a more like personal note too, we've been talking about this a lot in recent episodes, but this is really good music to listen to when you're going through shit too, you know? And right. I don't specifically know why either. It's just very soaked in emotion, like very raw and like, that raw is the wrong word. It's very genuine, but there's a better word. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very authentic.
You can feel the vibe.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So that was Polarity by Bound and Fear. You ready to move on?
Fuck yeah. All right.
All right. I just, track three. I'm waiting on track three to be like some stupid shit, like Young Gravy. Let's see what happens here. Oh, okay.
Just low and slow.
Here's the thing. Okay. I didn't plan this, obviously. This is just shuffle on my liked list. I want you to know, Taylor, right, that like 60% of my likes playlist is rap. So the fact that we just got three down tempo songs in a row is kind of incredible. I've also been trying to show you this song forever.
You have?
Yeah, and there just hasn't been a good way to bring it up. Look at
these edgy fellas.
They're quite edgy, bro. Look at how spiky his eyeliner is, dude. This is edge. He's got branches on his face. That's a very, I don't know. I didn't even realize they had the like black metal aesthetic. Yeah, this is Moths by Drown in Sulfur. Came out in 2019, single. Fucking heavy. Are you ready, bro? Have you heard this?
No, dude. You've mentioned Drown in Sulfur before, but I've never never actually seeked them out. Seeked? All right.
This,
is that the past tense of seek?
Sought them out, right?
Sought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, dude. All right, I'm excited.
You're fucking excited. All right, let's go.
I'm amped. Let's get this shit.
So low it can't be tuned.
That's probably the dumbest breakdown that we've ever listened to on this podcast.
No. Nihilist was worse. But look, all right. So right off the bat, I like this track. It's cool. There's a lot going on here that's well done and well written. This is really interesting because it's not strictly down tempo. Like, I wouldn't call this down tempo. I'd call it like, it's a mix between, it's got down tempo elements, but it's like, it's a mix between like, not black and death metal. No, that's the wrong.
It's black and like, something for sure, right? It's like,
yeah, it's a little black, black and something, but it's got elements of prog. It's got elements of thrash. And then it's got like down tempo chugs and shit. It's a very interesting piece. I liked the dynamics. I think that's a big thing that people forget is to actually have shit that changes in your song. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this stupid breakdown that takes up half the song. I was vibing until like halfway through the breakdown was over. I was like, oh man.
Changes. So I got some timestamps leading up to that. Do you mind if I show off some stuff in the beginning and then we'll talk about the dumb breakdown?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. How do you feel about black metal? I don't know if we've ever come out and directly talked about our opinions of it on the podcast. We've hinted at it and we've talked to people on the Discord and stuff. What are your thoughts on like black metal?
I, in the vast, vast majority of cases, haven't heard black metal that I've really enjoyed.
Yeah, I'm largely in the same camp, right? When you think of black, like, I don't know, man. I went down this rabbit hole with JD one day. We were sitting in Discord, which I need to hang on that VC more often, man. I feel bad. I haven't been there in a long time, but whatever. Sitting in a VC and JD was showing me music and we're listening to black metal. I don't even remember what it was, but like think like Death or Obituary or like some of these like 90s.
Some of the classics.
Yeah. Like some of this stuff that's classic. And what gets me or like what makes it so I don't enjoy it, I guess, oddly enough, it's like the vocals are kind of cringy and the instrumentation is kind of cringy. And it's like, it feels like people that are trying to take themselves way, like the music is not serious enough to match the aesthetic. I don't know if that makes sense. It's like yeah, laughable. You know what I mean? Like you listen to the song and it's laughable, but then their aesthetic is like, we torture rabbits in our basement. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I think that's, and don't misunderstand. We kind of know our history when it comes to black metal. We all know about, you know, how the, like the church burnings and shit in Norway and all the stuff with Mayhem and blah, blah, blah. I understand it was a countercultural movement because death metal had gotten to not poppy, but like was trying to play too much of the mainstream and people were just doing the same shit. So the music's intentionally bad to literally go against the grain in every possible way.
Mm-hmm. Well, but if you don't mind me tangenting off of that, right? Okay. What it was trying to be an answer to, okay, Cannibal Corpse, when they recorded their first like couple albums, I can't remember the name of the like actual studio, but there was a recording studio in Florida where Cannibal Corpse recorded their music. And from that point on, every like, I'm going to use the phrase mainstream, but every known like meta death metal band recorded in that same studio with the same instruments, with the same plugins, using the same producer. So everything tonally sounded really similar, right? There was a video I was watching about this where it just compared, like, it's like, I don't know, man, like you're playing different riffs on the same guitar to a point, right? And there were a lot of people that were very dissatisfied with this. It's like, okay, for like 3 or 4 years now, every death metal song has a lot of the same elements. And my understanding was that black metal was pointing to that and saying, okay, that's what mainstream, like consumeristic culture has done to music that's supposed to be heavy. So this is supposed to sound like shit. This is supposed to have bad production because we are the real edgy people and we're going to walk around with maces and nails through them and like swinging them at people at our shows and shit. You know, we're going to wear the corpse paint because we're trying to make it so that we're not marketable on purpose as a fuck you to this like system that has taken something that's supposed to be really like dark and heavy and then tried to sell it. Right. Which is what death metal in the 90s kind of was doing. Right.
Yeah.
But the music just doesn't hit as much as the idea behind it does. Like,
so that's the problem, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's intentionally recorded using crappy equipment in ways that aren't conventional, in ways that sound objectively worse. I think you can make that. I mean, a lot of people like black metal for like the state it puts them in, and it has like a very trance-like quality to it. There's definitely like a definitive, unique vibe to a lot of it, but it's, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when I say it doesn't hit, that's 1,000% subjective. I'm not making an objective.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah.
So, you guys may like it. I don't know. That's just me. Go ahead.
But that goes without saying, dude. But it's, if you intentionally record something to sound bad, it's going to sound bad.
Like shocker, it sounds bad. Yeah.
Right. So shocker, I don't enjoy listening to it.
Yep.
Yeah. And I grew up listening to well-produced music in almost every way, like the popular 80s and 90s rock and pop, moving on to, you know, early aughts punk that wasn't like traditional punk, which again was countercultural and was designed to be abrasive, you know, not like that, more pop punk where you're listening to Sum 41, Blink-182, Good Charlotte, yada, yada, yada. It's all produced to the nines. So that's what I'm used to. So, you know, subjectively for me, if your music doesn't cut this, you know, like get to the same standard of production, it just sounds bad to me. And, you know, maybe that's a problem on my end, but I don't have the patience to listen to stuff that has bad production anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
Right. So I want to bring us, you know, we've strayed from the path here as far as this, like, why are we talking about black metal when we were just listening to Drown in Sulfur, right? Thing is, this is the song that I used to inform my opinion about the musicality of black metal because there are so many blackened elements in this song, right? The biggest difference from the, well, I mean, obviously the vocals aren't, but like if you listen to the music, right? It's got that really fast, like, sort of like constant tremolo picking guitar thing that's like a black metal staple, right? They use that throughout this track, but the production is also sick as fuck. So everything sounds really good. If you listen to this in the car, that beginning drop, there's a lot of sub bass in there that's mixed very, very, like it's really well done, obviously, right?
Yep.
So the elements in here that are black metal, I fucking love, with the caveat that it's like worked into a song correctly and it's like produced accordingly as it should be. It's made to sound good. There's an objective way to make music sound better. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this is my example of like a blackened song that I fuck with because it has the things that I point to black metal and say I don't like because they lack. I hope that sentence makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like being into the new Lorna Shore. Lorna Shore has a lot of blackened elements to it, you know, tremolo picking, you know, blast beat riffs, stuff like that. And it all sounds great because Lorna Shore is a very modern band that's, you know, on the cutting edge of metal today. They're up and coming for sure, but they're huge now. They're being played in, you know, professional sports stadiums and stuff as a blackened death metal band that's huge. But they're produced really well and it sounds amazing. So that being said, so that's only part of this Drown in Sulfur song, right? Like the blackened elements to it. A lot of the rest of it is, you know, pulls from different genres and it makes a really interesting piece here.
So let me just quickly show some timestamps to kind of lock in what I'm talking about here, right? This is what I mean by like blackened elements. Yeah. 40 seconds. So specifically, not the vocals there, but the guitar and the drums underneath it, right?
Yep.
That, yeah, just sort of like chainsaw tremolo, you know, moving between like four notes. Da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And then again, like a minute 30, here's another example. This is like a little bit of a different thing. It sounds like an 1800s horror novel. Oddly enough, right? It sounds like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Tritones, different dissonant sounding chords there. Not chords, but just like the way... Fuck, what am I trying to... Tritones, dissonant sounding melodies being played on the two different guitars there.
Yep.
Very blackened sounding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so then it's also... The breakdown is heavy, but I don't really know if it works in this song particularly. You were going to talk about it before we went on the tangent about black metal. Sorry if I cut you off there.
Well, the only thing I want to say is that I am starting to like just fully dislike this trend of modern breakdowns being 2+ minutes long, you know, pioneered by fucking Lorna Shore and CJ Days. And then other bands of the same ilk kind of I'm not going to say they pioneered it because it's been a thing in downtempo since forever, but just like that Nihilist song we listened to. The breakdown is like half the song. It's like two and a half minutes of just nothing but halftime chugs at a low BPM. Here's a problem. What makes a breakdown hit is the dynamics. So what has always made breakdowns hit, at least in popular metalcore, is, you know, we're driving, vocal line, big dynamic shift
between the previous...
Yeah. Well, you fucking know.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
So you have this big dynamic shift, this big change in the energy, and you're like, oh, things are different now. Whoa, this is cool. And when you just do that for like 3 minutes straight, that's now the song.
Yeah.
You've lost all of the impact of like what you did. So why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally understand. I think that long breakdowns are not like, I don't dislike the long breakdown, right? So there are examples like Death Portrait, that breakdown smacks, right?
Fair.
I don't know if they're like even Second Death, that breakdown kind of goes on for a while. I want you all to suffer as I've suffered. And that's like our poster child breakdown that we talk about all the time because it's the last. Right. You know, 45 seconds of the song. So what I don't like about this breakdown specifically, and I love this track and I love this band, but what I don't like about this breakdown is it doesn't have, I don't know. Let me play a clip and then I'll try to be able to, I can probably put it in words better. This is what it sounds like. 3 minutes and 30 seconds. It's a little too proggy, right? It's like that bum, 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 Like, what I mean by proggy is like weird rhythmically, I guess. Maybe I'm just totally wrong. You're giving me a weird ass look right now.
Yeah. I would say those elements are in there to try and spice it up to keep 2 minutes of nothing interesting. You know, I'm trying to think, if you were a band and you were like, all right, dude, we got to have a 3 minute breakdown in here. How can we keep it somewhat interesting for the length of it? You would have to add in little shit like a double bass, like bum, 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 you know, in between shit just to try. And that's why the vocalist is doing all sorts of weird shit too, to try to keep things interesting. I don't know, man. What can you do with a huge, long open string chug segment that would keep it interesting for somebody who isn't just into that by default? You know what I mean?
I don't know, bro. I have no idea. This is for somebody. I'm sure that somebody heard this and then had an absolute aneurysm, you know, because it was the heaviest thing ever. But it's enough to almost pull me out of it. And like,
right.
It's one of those things where like the syllables don't quite line up. It's the flow is what's lacking, I think, right? Like moths grow from the soil surrounding me once again. Moths, their fur strangles me. Moths, multiple eyes to see me inside. Moths, like every time he says moths is where they get that and like they hold it out for like 5 seconds or something.
Which is cool.
It's cool. Know? The things in between though are like buried in length and like space in that breakdown, right? So that's where it just comes off weird.
And I'm fairly confident that was the point, but I think my point here is just like halfway through this breakdown, I was like, this needs to change otherwise. Like, cause all of the momentum and energy from the initial drop is gone and I'm bored now. Yep. And maybe that's a me problem. Yeah. I could totally see people being like way into this, be like, bro, this is the heaviest shit I've ever heard. Valid. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that for me, this, if you just let something go for just minutes on end, it loses all of its appeal for me.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's just my take, I guess.
All right, dude. I still really love this song though. This shit is so fucking heavy.
That's a good song, man. I liked it a lot. I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yep.
So I guess I shouldn't be surprised. We shuffled three of your songs and you got three down tempo songs.
Bro, just out of curiosity, let's see what would have come up. Of course. The next song is Glow by Deaf Andrews. Yeah, and of course, yeah, this is a rap song.
There you go.
I was kind of hoping it would be diverse, but it was just like three heavy-ass songs in a row.
I think that's kind of the fun of it, is we don't know what we're going to get, right?
Totally random, so.
All right.
Fucking all right. All right, dude, your turn, right?
That's enough out of you, sir.
Yeah, I'm curious what we got on your end, dude, because I feel like, I don't know. Why should it be three of the same type of thing again?
I know, dude.
Some new Devil Wears Prada there. Let's go.
It would just become, oh, dude, the new Devil Wears Prada is good, man. It's really good.
Excellent.
It's making everyone's like, oh, album of the year, listening to it on repeat. Da, 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 da.
I've heard a lot of people talk about how awesome it is. Maybe it gets an episode. I don't know. Yeah, it seems like it should be good. I haven't had a chance to listen through it yet, but we'll get there.
Anyway. Okay. So, Spotify grab bag, randomness, and shuffle. Ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Dreamer's Disease by Let Live.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Let Live, no longer a band, unfortunately. They had, four albums. Yeah. They had four albums over the length of their career.
We got 1, 2, 4. There's four of them. The way you said that was funny. Anyway.
Yeah, and that's just off the top of my head. I could be wrong about it, but political band, like political punk mixed with like metalcore. They're in a weird space musically, but I really love their creative direction. And then of course Jason Butler, the fucking goat as far as live performances go. Absolute spaz. You know, I've seen YouTube videos of this man throwing himself into chain link fences and just destroying property. There's this one great video of him, you know, Let Live was playing and he like grabbed a drumstick during a breakdown and like walked up to the drum kit and just started smashing the fucking shit out of the crash cymbal. Mm-hmm. But even after the song was over, the drummer like got up and left. He was just standing there like, bah, bah, bah. So he's just, you know, he's a fucking spaz. And I've personally seen him climb to the top of the stage, find some storage and just start throwing things all over the place. Very entertaining show.
Bro, yeah, on the Watch Mojo list of top 15 most insane frontmen at live show, he's probably got to be number one, dude. Like, I don't know of a single other vocalist that goes as hard as he does, just trying to injure himself in the with the goal of expressing his outrage, right?
They've described themselves as soul punk, and that's apt, because it's like a lot of chaos and a lot of crazy random weirdness mixed in with, like, these really soulful melodic passages and a lot of, like, emotion poured into every track. So I'm a huge Let Live fan.
Dude, Let Live is also important to the Mitch and Tanalo origin story too, bro. I was wearing a Let Live jacket when you tapped me on the shoulder and was like, yo, is that Let Live? And that's literally how we became friends.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
So I believe this is track 4 on The Blackest Beautiful. Dreamer's Disease. Let's fucking run it.
Yeah, bro, there's not much like Let Live, dude. That shit stands ahead. Or like it's just crazy. Different. It just hits different.
Yeah. Let Live, I mean, generally sounding similar on all their albums pretty much, but every album has its own very distinct identity. And this is very much like a Blackest Beautiful song.
Yep.
But man, just like the rawness of the vocals, especially at the end. And like how the song comes together. It's not so much aggressive, distorted punk. There's the guitar tone's like clanging instead of standard distortion or overdrive. You know what I mean?
Right.
Very interesting texture.
Bro, do you know off the top of your head what year this song dropped? I can't place it.
I can tell you soon.
It was like 2012.
2013.
2013. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So I was listening to this a lot back then. This is around when I graduated like high school and started college. There's a line in here. So fuck making love, I'd rather make history. And I literally posted that on my Instagram. Like in 2013, there is a tile that is a screenshot of a Tumblr post about this song that says fuck making love, I'd rather make history. And if I could find it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Bet literally right there. Except for it's probably backwards for you, but
no, yeah. I could see it. Wow. Good stuff, man.
Yeah. So,
so edgy, bro.
Three edgy five me. Because you know, when you're like, you know, 18, that's the deepest shit. The whole like monologue at the back of this song, it's not really a monologue, but that whole kind of chant thing in the back end of this song is really sick too. I've always like kind of resonated with that for some reason. I don't know.
Oh yeah. It's the best part. Dude, my favorite shit is like, there's no such thing as heartache, you idiot. It's all in your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right? Man.
If they say home's where the heart is, so where do you keep your bed? And if the home is where the heart is, then what do I do with this empty chest? Another, like, I'm 14 and this is deep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it keeps going there, dude. It's like, and if home is where the heart is, it's a crying shame we can't afford the rent.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
I'll stay home where the heart is.
I've always loved fucking Let Live's lyrics, dude. They're... Mm. But on top of that is the delivery. I feel like the delivery is more important than what the lyrics actually say, because it's not like they say home is where the heart is. Like they say home is where the heart is.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you keep your bed? Like there's always like you can feel his body like moving in every word. You know what I mean?
You want to play a clip? It's 2 minutes and 40 seconds is where that whole thing
starts. I do want to play a clip of that. So much,
dude. Yeah, that "don't you lie to me," like that's sort of like what is being like chanted in the background.
Lie to me, bump, don't you lie to me. So he has that like repeating canon, like "don't you lie to me, bump, don't." And then with the foley of like the spit and the "get out" and the "don't you fucking lie to me," like just it's just raw. I don't know. I love it. I love shit like that.
I mean, to kind of take a step backwards too. I know that was like the back end of the song that we showed off. I want to show off this chorus too, bro. Go to 1:30. Will it save the life each ever is meant? Prophet to Michael, read me again. Will it save the life lying a hand on, searching for that rescue is dear. So that's also got what you're talking about as well, but it's a lot more refined. So like, well, it seems like the amorous man, right? So he's like singing that, but then he's got like that part where he's like starting to like let loose a little bit underneath it. Mm-hmm. It's like that second vocal track.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say like that's, it just really adds that danger to the song, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And I think that's what puts the soul in soul punks, is having the rawness of the emotion come through in the vocals and in the performance. Because you can kind of feel the crazy live performance through the track, which is, I don't want to say unique to Let Live, but it's definitely where I noticed it first. For me, at least.
Hell yeah.
It just sounds like they handed him a mic. He was like, "All right, Jason, go off, dude." You know?
Bro, I'm getting nostalgic listening to fucking Let Live, bro, because it's been a long time. Like, I haven't listened to Let Live, like I said, since like, I don't know, like that area of my, like 2012 to 2014 was when I was listening to them the most, but.
Yeah. It's a shame they never like truly popped off and got popular, because they're one of the best bands I'm aware of. And it's also weird that we've never talked about them on the show.
I know. Yeah. What's up with that, bro? I don't know. It's funny because today they have 100,000 monthly listeners still. Somehow.
That's not enough.
Yeah, it's not, bro.
It's a fucking shame.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, I'm good. Okay. So Dreamer's Disease, fucking crazy song. Love it. And next.
Excellent.
Yes, dude. Okay.
This is kind of what I was hoping would happen. Right. We've been having like serious music discussion up until right now, and I think that's probably about to change just a little bit.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So the song that popped up is "One Week" by the Bare Naked Ladies, except it's the Blink-182 version. It's a cover done by Alex Melton.
Bro, you know, Ross sends me links. I'm pretty sure it's Alex Melton, but he sends me links to like the Blink-182 version of, and then like a song or like the.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, it's like a YouTube channel and he just covers music and styles of other music, right?
Pretty much. But he also does like releases on Spotify and everything. And he's super crazy fucking talented. He's done country covers of a lot of, you know, our favorite stuff. He's done like Slipknot country covers.
Yeah,
I remember sending it to you one time. I think I just actually posted one on the Discord in the general chat or something, or in the banger alerts, and I tagged you on it. But there's a country version of some heavy shit and it sounds so good. You know, if you're into that sort of thing, which I totally am.
Dude, there's a country version of Downfall of Us All.
Yeah. That's it.
Excellent.
And it sounds so good too. It's so good. I love this guy. He's from South Carolina. The reason why I was looking it up is because he seems like a Syracuse boy to me, but, he's from South Carolina, but
fuck yeah.
Anyway, dude, you ready to run this fucking track? Let's do it.
Let's run it, dude. Well, it's been 1 week since you looked at me. Come to red of the silence and I'm angry. 5 days since you lied to me. Saying goodbye together, call back to see me. 3 days since the living room. I realize it's all my fault, but didn't tell you. Yesterday, you forgiven me. It'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Holding out, I watch the hood week, cause I make you stop thinking. Looking at Aquaman, I summon fish to the dish. Although I like the shallots, wish I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan. I like wasabi when I... Yeah. Bro, here's the thing about Blink-182, man. You know your band is good when someone else can make any other song sound like your band played it. Like, if your sound is unique enough, like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I see where you're going. Yeah. It's, I think it's a portrayal of talent on both sides. On one hand, we have like Blink-182, super iconic, obviously, monster players, you know, just a monstrous band, but they have that very recognizable dynamic between Tom DeLonge and Mara Kappas vocally, and talent on the side of Alex Melton here, who has managed to capture the essence of, like, you get the gist pretty much. He's managed to emulate their styles to the point where it sounds cohesive on the track, but it's just one dude, and he's getting those Tom DeLonge, like, do we say we're sorry? You know, that fucking, like, weird inflection shit that you put on your voice sometimes when you're singing?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah.
But that very Tom DeLonge ass fucking energy. Like, he has that as well as the...
Yeah.
As well as the Mark Hoppus in the background. I mean, it's, he's close on, oh God, I'm shit in the bed. Travis Barker. He's close on like Travis Barker's drumming style. He's got like a lot of the snare work down that goes in there, but I think he's just missing like some of the hi-hat stuff.
Yeah.
But in general, it's a really damn faithful recreation of what this would be like, you know?
Bro, I just got like one moment I want to point out here. And I think it's just because in the original song, One Week, there's just a lot of words, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's able
Bare Naked Ladies is great because they're an indie rock band who has like crazy rap verses.
Bro, go to a minute and 40 seconds. This shit was fucking wild.
I actually really dig the Bare Naked Ladies. So this is cool that this came out.
Nice.
I don't think we'd ever talk about it otherwise. Inside a bed across can find the common tiny, not just in my eyes, I'm always flying off the back swing. Gotta get into a sailor mood, cause I can't do this, get the boom and my babes, and maybe they're the wrong thing. How can I open if you think it's funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who rides at a funeral, can't understand what I mean, will you soon move? I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve, I have a history of losing my shirt. So I wanted to keep playing that out there because it has the Tom DeLonge ass shit at the end, but.
Yeah, true. Sorry if I cut it early there, I guess, but
no, you're good.
Think about this, bro, is that I am just barely able to suspend my disbelief because this would never happen in a real pop punk song, but he's still able to like pull it off.
But it could though.
I guess it could.
The cool thing about this is kind of showing like, yeah, this would totally fit in a Blink song if they wrote it that way, you know?
Yeah. He's able to maintain the fucking, like the accent all the way through too, which it starts to like slip a little bit as he like raps faster or like gets through those words quicker, but like it's still, he's able to hold it together and it's fucking funny.
And then at the end there, he's like, I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. Interesting. I love that shit, dude. It's so good.
Bro, why does pop punk have its own unique accent? Where did
that
come from?
That's specific to Tom DeLonge. That's specifically Tom DeLonge. That's not anybody else, dude.
Okay, so like when Real Friends is like, driving in my car, like you know what I'm talking about, right? Like
he got that shit from Tom DeLonge.
Is it a Tom DeLonge thing? Did you just copy Tom DeLonge?
He started it. Yep. And this is anecdotal, but when I was in high school, I was playing guitar with a buddy of mine who was like way, way, way into Blink-182. I liked him, but he was like, he was a stan if there was such a thing at that time. Back in the before times when I was in school.
Yeah, dude, you had to, never mind. I was going to make a joke, but whatever.
Yeah, he was showing me how to play like Stay Together for the Kids and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. But he was saying that he heard that Tom DeLonge's voice sounds the way it does because Tom DeLonge chose to start singing like that after he did it for a girl and she said it sounded cool.
Yo, what's fucking hilarious about that is that that's the most likely story. I figured it was something stupid like that. He just like tried to be stupid and then somebody was like, oh, that's cool. And then he started doing it. And then now that's just the standard cadence for any like pop punk. Like, should be like,
goes on to influence an entire generation of pop punk, you know, vocalists.
Deadass, bro. Oh my God.
So Alex Melton, actually, he's on this list because, Mary, you know, we know Mary, friend of the podcast, my sister.
What's up,
she's
Mary?
On an episode. Yeah. I forget which number, but hi, she listened to all of them. So hi, I hope things are fine.
I hope that you talk to your sister outside of just the podcast. I hope this is your only way that
No, I do on rare occasion call my family properly. So that I'm not a complete piece of shit.
I'm just imagining like this is like the only medium. Like, what's up, Matt? Doing
well. If you want to know how I'm doing, you have to listen to my podcast.
Yeah, right. What an absolute like just marketing ploy, right? Your parents call you, you like hang the phone up, not answer it, send them a text, like listen to the podcast if you want to talk to me. But anyway.
So her now husband, Jake, what's up, Jake? He's the one who recommended Alex Melton to me. And he basically like sat me down and forced me to listen to it, but it ended up slapping. So there's a bunch of him on my like too.
I'm pretty sure that Alex Melton is the same person that Ross has been recommending to me for a long, long time. You guys know our musical expert Ross in the Discord. Legendary bassist of Def Andrews. He'll like send me one of these videos every now and then. And they're always really fucking hilarious. They're always really good, you know.
He's a talented dude.
Excellent.
Cool. So are we happy with that? I am.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. What's next?
Sick. All right. Last but certainly not least. Nope.
We already covered Goodbye.
So that was include this or don't, but it's Goodbye by Bro Job, and we just did their whole Jester EP. Sick track. Yeah,
check out episode 69 if you want to hear us talk about it. But
boom. All right. And wow.
Interesting.
Okay. So it's Say Goodbye to Hollywood by Billy Joel.
Okay, excellent. We've gone from Nihilist to Billy Joel, dude.
I'm glad that we got some variety in the back half. This is it's interesting.
Me too, bro. So, I was kind of like afraid that just Spotify was gonna fuck us here and just, you know, just be heavy music all the way through with no variety like we kind of anticipated and hoped for.
With my like songs, it's kind of like 50-50 or like 60-40 heavy to not.
This doesn't make any sense, but with you liking 3,000 songs, I was like, bro, there's like gotta be like 2,000 heavy songs in there. So like chance of variety.
Yeah,
I clearly was wrong because, you know, my dude, I swear I don't just have like down tempo on my liked list, and that's just happened to be, but
3 songs out of 211 is not an adequate sample size, let alone 3 songs out of 3,550. So
fair. But yeah, bro, Say Goodbye to Hollywood, Billy Joel. I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. I don't know shit about Billy Joel. I don't know anything about Billy Joel. I know the name. I've heard songs before, probably, but yeah. So let's check it out. It sounds like a piano.
He is the piano man.
Man, I had never heard Billy Joel before, and it's kind of sounded
you never listened
exactly
to any Billy Joel songs before today.
All right, what are some famous Billy Joel songs, dude? Because I've definitely
Piano
heard
Piano Man.
Yeah, I've heard Piano Man.
Okay. Ballad of Billy the Kid. I mean, this whole album is Piano Man is a huge album.
What's like if you look at the Spotify most popular songs, dude, it's Piano Man, right? Like 650 bajillion million plays.
Nope, Uptown Girl.
Nah, but Piano Man's got more than that, though.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, why does Spotify do that? So, like, the top song usually isn't the one with the most plays on the popular.
I don't know. It's got something to do with, like, what people are listening to most recently, I think. I don't fucking know. Spotify's
weird,
dude.
It's kind of a tangent, dude. I wish that these websites' algorithms would stop fucking with shit to try to make it appeal to you specifically. Like, just if it's objectively less played than the other most played song, then put the most played one at the top of the popular list.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Small things to get mad about, but yeah, sounds good though.
Yeah, in general, I wish like giant tech companies would stop fucking with algorithms to try to, you know, but it's made them bajillions of dollars. So why would they ever stop?
Imagine an alternate scenario where iTunes is still like the meta, you know, like downloading music onto an iTunes library is still like the best way to do it. Like it'd be so much more of a hassle, but like,
yeah, I mean, I used to curate my own music library and shit. And I did that up until not too long ago, man. I mean, I've only been using Spotify as my main source of music for a few years.
Since like we started the podcast pretty much, right? Because didn't you have like hundreds of gigabytes of music on a hard drive somewhere?
Yeah. And I don't remember what happened, but something got wiped and I lost it all. That's kind of what I gave.
Bro, you lost it in the move to when you lived in Charlotte's armpit there for a while, right? Didn't you lose it in that move?
I don't remember, but it was... This is the fucked thing about data. Like, if you just forget to back it up or whatever. I moved, or I had to reset my computer for some reason, and then I assumed that I had my library back up. But yeah, it was like 110, 120 gigs of music, tens of thousands of songs, and it was just gone. So,
you know, what's crazy about that, bro? I am starting to run out of like just hard drive space on my computer that we do the recording on. So I went and got a hard drive, like an external hard drive to back up all the Banger Alert stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went and backed everything up. So every Banger Alert related file, whether it's art or, you know, a scene for Ableton or Chains and any of it, like all of it, right? All the music, all the recordings, everything. Put it all on this drive. The idea was that I would do that and then I would delete it off of my like drive that I'm using to free up space for like more episodes and stuff. And then I remembered about how your hard drive got wiped. And then I was like, fuck, I can't delete it.
Well, just, so if you make sure it's backed up, then you're fine. I didn't have it backed up.
I've that got like 2 gigabytes or 2 copies of 150 gigabytes of recordings from us just rambling on episodes unedited.
Dude, if you have the episode backed up, just delete it. You don't need it anymore. And plus I moved a lot of our full, you know, episode project files to the Google Drive. So, but this is not value added conversation for
anyway. Sorry to take us down that rabbit hole.
Jesus.
Yo, this song has like 2 distinct parts. There's the chorus and then there's the, what I'm going to call the not chorus. Right. And it alternates between the two of them.
The verse.
Is that a verse? I guess it's a verse.
Where's the breakdown?
You mean Billy Joel doesn't break down?
This is the first track off of Turnstiles, which is his album from 1976.
Nice.
So we're going way back, dude.
Bro,
but
I was like negative 18 years old in 1976, dude. Excellent.
Yeah. But around this time, people who made popular music followed the formula, right? So intro, verse, chorus, bridge, reprise, chorus, and then you're out. And that was pretty much every song.
Right.
So, I'm a reasonably big Billy Joel fan. He's obviously one of the most prolific artists out there. You know, all of his records went platinum, I think. I mean, the dude is just nuts. I have a funny story about Billy Joel. Kind of when I was starting to get into heavy music and my parents were starting to give me shit for being into heavy music. You know, when you, the first time they hear you listening to a song that doesn't have singing on it and they're like, oh, devil music. Oh, what is this? Oh, delete it off of your hard drive for you. You're welcome, son. Go to church.
My son has been infiltrated by Satan himself.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So exactly. we had gotten kind of past that stage, but they'd still give me grief for, you know, just listening to heavy shit all the time.
Right.
One day I was listening into my iPod and I was actually listening to a Billy Joel song and my dad and someone else were talking about something that I wasn't listening to because I was listening to Billy Joel. And, you know, I took my headphones off and my dad leans over and goes like, what are you even listening to anyway? More of your devil music? And I was like, Billy Joel.
No,
actually.
Idiot.
So, just, and I like, actually, I turned it around. It's Roberta by Billy Joel. So man.
Yeah, no.
GFY yourself.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah. So yeah, I'm actually a pretty big Billy Joel fan. So I'm glad this popped up.
Bro, go to.
Well, what did you think? You've never listened to any Billy Joel before. And he's this crazy, historical, wonderful artist who's made just dozens of albums and tons of hits.
All right, bro. Here's the thing. I started talking about this a minute ago, but say goodbye to Hollywood. Say goodbye, my baby. I was tired of that after the second repetition of it, right? As probably the rest of the world was. That verse kind of hit, though, bro. Wait, what's up?
As the rest of the world was? Yes, it's controversial. Everybody loves this song.
Okay, well, all right. I don't know why. Okay, like the rest of Mitch was, I guess. fucking whatever.
I don't even know what that means.
Play. Go to a minute 20. This is the part that's not the chorus that I like about this song. Moving on.
It's a fucking bomb, dude.
Say a word out of line. I think you'll find. I was like vibing with it, bro. Like, sorry for singing, but you know.
Hell yeah. No, I'm like, with it.
Like that whole like no choice there after say goodbye to Hollywood. I thought the whole song was going to be boring, like the chorus. And then he's just like, all right, verse time. Let's go. Time to show you why this song is actually a good song.
Yeah, Billy Joel has a way with melodies, man.
Nah, yeah, that shit hit. That's going to be like stuck in my head. Very catchy.
He's also really good at bringing in excellent artists to do other instruments on his shit. So the, like the, all the strings and the horn sections. I think there's a sax solo in here somewhere.
There's a lot of stuff in this song. Yeah, a lot of music going on. What I meant by that was that there's a lot of different instruments that come in and out doing interesting, cool things in this song.
It's yeah, dude, there's a lot of music happening in this song, dude.
Shut up. Yeah, dude. So we're listening to Billy Joel and there's a lot of music.
10 out of 10 analysis, brother. Rushing it.
Yeah, dude. This is what I do when I don't know what, because I don't know anything about Billy Joel here. So I'm kind of just riffing with you, dude.
That's okay.
Do you have any other timestamps in this song?
Oh my God. Yeah. I want to play that, that sax solo. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Did you happen to write that down?
I didn't, bro. I wrote down a clip of the chorus and a clip of the verse.
All right. Sax solo. It's like around 2:10.
Say goodbye to Hollywood. Say goodbye, my baby.
Smooth as hell. Welcome change at that point. Love it.
Bars. Yeah. Any time a saxophone is included in a song, it makes the song better. I don't know of a single time that there's been a sax solo that didn't work. Like,
it's gonna be even my challenge to drown in sulfur. Like, find a way to incorporate saxophone into your next 4-minute breakdown.
I mean, it wasn't not like drown in sulfur, but I mean, there's like a Chunk song, Chunk No Captain Chunk song that has like a saxophone solo and it just goes off. Like, dude in the Discord named Joe Schmoney, me and him were going, like, we were kind of sending examples of saxophone solos and heavy music back and forth a while ago. Yeah, it does work, bro. Saxophones are just excellent instruments. That's cool. What happens if you click next? Like, what's the next random song that's going to pop up here? I'm just curious.
Ooh.
What? Misty Mountains? Oh, this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, let's go.
I've been listening to a lot of acapella, a lot of sea shanty shit lately. So I'm glad that that popped up. There's this great vocalist.
Once was a...
No, that's Wellerman. Yeah, no, Misty Mountains is from The Hobbit.
To dungeons deep and caverns old.
Oh,
that's that song.
Nice. I like that there's just a shanty in here, bro. I want to learn some shanties.
Dude,
you know, okay.
Fucking.
Here's what I want to do. I want to learn some shanties, and then I want to go and, like, become intoxicated with the boys, and then, like, sit on the edge of a cliff and sing shanties. That seems like
I want to do that so bad. I want to do that. Desperately want to do that.
What we'll do, bro?
I'm gonna send you my shanty playlist, and we're just going to fucking learn it.
Send me, like, 5 to learn, and then we'll just roll around and sing shanties when I come through.
You got it. A good place to start, this guy, Cole McGinnis on YouTube. He's got this great cover of Hobbit drinking songs.
Is he the guy that's got the crazy low voice?
Well, he's one of them. No, not the one that you're thinking of. The guy who I played at your house, your apartment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
that rattled like your subs and shit? No.
Dude, yeah, yeah.
But he does have a very diverse range. He has the crazy bass, but he can also sing really high really well. So he's like crazy talented. Look his ass up, and he has this great cover of Hobbit drinking songs. That's so fun, dude.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's so good. I'll do another one.
Yeah, what's next? Like, while we're just rapid firing.
Tiny Moving Parts.
Yes, dude. The boys.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Album coming out soon.
Love Tiny Moving Parts. They're very guilty of doing the Tom DeLonge voice thing.
I think it's different enough.
It's different enough. Well, okay, bro, listen. Just while we're on Tiny Moving Parts, go to Tiny Moving Parts discography real quick and play Dakota, like just the beginning of that song, if you would, good sir. It's an old one, so you're going to have to go back a little bit. It's on this couch. Yeah. All right, listen to how he says, I've never been, coming in.
I have never been.
Yeah, right? It hasn't even happened yet. Like, we're both excited for it.
That's more like Midwest emo, not Tom DeLonge, you know?
I have never been so scared and sad at the same time.
Okay.
I finally will figure out what life truly means when it's all been left behind.
Yeah, I don't really hear Tom DeLonge in that.
You're right. Okay, the thing is, Ash shits on me every single time I play this song in the car.
Why?
She's like, because it's like the Tom DeLonge thing. She's like, I have never been so scared and sad at the same time. That's what she hears when we play this song.
Well, that's what you can do to mock it, but it's like...
Right.
That's the whole draw with Midwest emo is that it's emotionally vulnerable, like wailing out into the ether.
Exactly. You know? Go off, Dylan. Be your best. I fucking love Tiny Moving Parts. That's like, this is my favorite, like, non-heavy music, I think, is Tiny Moving Parts.
One of the most fun shows I think I've ever been to, especially with you.
Bro.
But I remember talking to Dylan after the show, just because I'm blown away by how that dude writes and how he plays and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember asking him, like, dude, how are you that good? How long have you been playing? He was like, I don't know, 10 years. I'm like, what the fuck? I've been playing longer than you and I'm trash.
Dude, yeah, right? Like, bro, get that clip of Birdhouse, because that was the one that you learned how to play, right? Just while you're hovering over it.
Fucking god tier lick, dude.
10 out of 10 banger, bro. I love that song.
This whole album is fucking incredible. How have we not covered it? It's my favorite TMP album, dude.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Why have we not covered Celebrate? What the hell?
Because we're fucking stupid.
Yeah, scroll down a little bit, bro. Like, okay, Pleasant Living is also really, really good. Sundresses? I don't know.
That's Brando's favorite album, right?
Yeah, bro. So Brando, he bought the vinyl for Pleasant Living. I bought the vinyl for this couch. And I think Brando likes Pleasant Living, and my favorite was this couch.
And my favorite is Celebrate.
Yeah.
And I think someone was saying their favorite is Breathe.
And I haven't listened. Dude, so like, yeah, Medicate's a really, really good song. I can't remember which album that's on, though. Oh, Medicine? Yeah, I guess that's on Breathe.
Yep. Anyway.
And I think they're about to drop a new album. Anyway, this is kind of fun rapid fire fodder, bro. What hypothetically would be the next song if you were to... Next,
you want to do one more? Okay,
let's just keep fucking. Well, you're on Tiny Moving Parts, so it's gonna give you another TMP song. But what happens if you go back to your like and just hit another random?
Right. Okay. Rock Bottom by Eminem.
Oh, fucking nice. Yeah,
old school Eminem, dude. The Slim Shady LP.
Excellent.
Nice.
1999.
It's not old school like before he was Eminem, you know, like when he was doing shit with D12 and stuff, but it is old as far as Eminem is concerned.
This is before MGK was born, dude.
Listen,
crazy.
Son, dad's not mad, but how you gonna name yourself after a damn gun when you have a man bun?
That's one of the best diss tracks of all time. And I know nothing about diss tracks.
It's so good.
What would be
Rock
next?
Bottom's great.
Just while we're talking about it. Just keep this going. Oh, okay.
Scooter. We've talked about them before. I think
Scooter's
they came up
pretty
on
good.
The Europop shit we were talking about with Songs We Hate.
KD Bro, yeah, wasn't it? It was like Scooter was what? Yeah. She put that on the playlist because it was the one song that was trying to be cringy.
Yeah. Excellent. Good stuff. So I think we'll call it there. This is fun though, dude. I like Grab Bag.
Yeah, I had a good time, man. Yeah, definitely let's do this again. Spotify grab bag. And, you know, I like just the randomness of it. I like that there, you know, we had no idea what was about to happen.
So for listeners, we're going to be kind of exploring different styles of format like this. We're trying to break out of like our normal album review style or our normal 3v3 style. We're going to be doing some weird shit, but it is all with the goal of having like more organic conversations, incorporating more stories, which I'm excited about. So I think it's going to be great, dude. I'm looking forward.
Taylor, you got anything else we want to bring up before we like do the formal close here?
Nah, that's pretty much it. It's been a day.
It's been a day. Yeah, for sure. It's also a Monday. We normally record on Sundays. Now it's Monday, yeah. And it's like, I don't know, it's like thrown off the flow, dude. It's weird to change the time. Even though we used to do this all the time, bro. It used to be, remember when we used to record, it'd be like Wednesday? Like, hey, let's record an episode and we just do it.
Yeah.
And then it got weird with the timing of everything. Anyway, irrelevant. Yeah, the heart of it, though, is that we love music and you guys love music and we like talking about music. So we're going to keep doing the podcast. None of that's ever going to change, right? We just want to, you know.
So it's not going to be like crazy different. We're not changing anything drastically. We're still going to clip breakdowns and talk about heavy shit, but we want the conversation to flow a little better and have like more organic thoughts on things. So
for sure. So anyway, you guys can hit us up at Gmail or send us an email, bangeralertpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Discord, Banger Alert Podcast. Hit us up on Discord. Hit us up on Instagram at Banger Alert Podcast. Join our Discord if you feel so led. We have officially revived the ABC Bands chat as of today. It was dead for a full month, apparently.
Yep.
I'm going to go put something in there right now, actually, since we're talking about it. JD was like, this is dead, huh? And I'm like, ah, shit. What's a band that starts with N, dude? Oh, Nihilist. There we go. Perfect.
There you go.
Excellent. Cool. So one more time, dude. This has been the Banger Alert Podcast. My name is Mitch.
My name is Tantalo.
And we'll see you guys in the next one. Later, guys.
Toodaloo.
I've been watching classic movies all day. I started this yesterday, and I've just been rolling through. So I watched, like, American Psycho, and then I watched one other movie, and then I watched Citizen Kane. I can't remember what the one was in the movie. Oh, yeah, I watched 2001 A Space Odyssey all the way through. Have you ever seen that shit?
No. You watched that today?
I watched it yesterday.
Like, while you were working? Oh, yesterday, okay.
Yeah. Well, then today I kept that going. I finished Citizen Kane, and I watched this movie called The Fly, and that shit's fucked up, dude. You ever heard of that? Dude,
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, have you seen that?
It's like the most famous body horror movie of all time.
I didn't realize that it was like the most famous body horror movie of all time. I thought that was like The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing, but
Dude, maybe.
I didn't even know that it was like a renowned movie until I started looking shit up about it after I watched it. I just watched it on a whim on HBO because it was recommended, and I was like, God damn, this shit's crazy.
It is classic, but yeah, I haven't seen it myself, but I've heard it's pretty fucked up.